The combination of a protocol and an interface can be called a port, and the port will have an electrical manifestation on the actual chip, where the interface and protocol involve the wires or nets of the chip. But later on we'll talk about our higher level representations of the port, where we'll be using subroutine calls to represent the traffic crossing between components. In Verilog or VHDL, the main RTLs, we'll have to include the wires that make up the ports in our signatures in the interface terminal listings of the components involved. So in Verilog, for instance, for an 8-bit byte-wide port, which is the example I have on this slide, we will have on the transmitter 8 bits of output data, and on the receiver there will be 8 bits of input, the data. And then also we'll need some handshaking wires to qualify the transfer of data. So the typical pattern of these is that we have one in each direction, and here the strobe signal is used by the transmitter. It puts the data on the interface, asserts strobe, meaning it goes high to logic 1. The receiver sees this, it detects, registers the data off the input and asserts its acknowledgement. The transmitter sees that, deasserts its strobe, and then the receiver deasserts its acknowledgement. A total of 4 phases. We'll see this 4-phase handshake in another slide. The overall behaviour of this is that both the transmitter and the receiver are involved in determining whether data can be sent, and this gives us flow control. So, for instance, if the receiver cannot process data as fast as the transmitter can generate it, there is no risk of data overrun at the receiver because it simply won't acknowledge until it's ready for the next data. This type of flow control happens in network protocols such as TCP, where the receiver and the transmitter equally are synchronized and cooperate to set the actual transfer rate. This sort of port has an idle state. It starts off in the idle state, and for this simple protocol, both the strobe and acknowledgement are deasserted in idle. That's how we can spot it, and it will explicitly pass back through the idle state between each transaction, each transfer of a byte. For more complicated interfaces, especially synchronous ones, the idle state may not be explicit, and if there's a lot of pipelining involved, then it may not exist at any particular instance, but it will nominally exist between each transaction. Synchronous and asynchronous, there's a little summary at the bottom here, but actually there's only one bit of information really, which is that there's the possibility that both sides share the same clock, which is the synchronous example, and was sort of illustrated on the previous slide where we saw the global clock going to each component. And all the other possibilities, they don't share a common clock, and hence the data must be transferred by the operation of the signals that make up the interface itself, such as the strobe qualifying the data in the example above. The four-phase handshake is a bit of a waste if we have a synchronous interface, because we might be using 4 clock cycles to transfer 1 byte of data, giving us a maximum throughput of 25% of the clock rate. But so we can generally get higher throughputs with synchronous interfaces. Right, next slide.